Wasn't it clever of me to do the scripture before we did the chariot song? And we don't sing Sweet Low. I had not recorded that we had done Swing Low, Sweet Chariot in this congregation since I've been here. We don't sing it often enough. Good stuff, Swinging Low, Sweet Chariot. Amen? You got to meet some superstars this morning. The New Testament, who's there? Remember? There's Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. Why would Moses and Elijah be there? Of all the greatest prophets and the historical, most memorable, Moses. You remember little Moses, the baby? His mommy put him in the basket. Word is Tabor, same word as ark. And he floats down the river to be saved, and he's drawn out of the Nile by Pharaoh's daughter and grows up, and things go sideways, and he leaves and goes out, and he becomes a shepherd, and then he has a bush call. It's like an email. God uses a burning bush. Remember that? Take off your sandals, or you are standing on holy ground. Moses, I'm going to send you to do the work. He says, but Lord, I have a speech impediment. I cannot go. Lord says, yeah, you're going, buddy. How many of us have excuses for not going? Come on. So he goes and he leads the Hebrews out of captivity, and they get lost for 40 days in the earth. Do you know why they were lost for 40 days? Moses refused to stop and ask for directions. Goes up onto Mount Sinai, and he comes down with the Decalogue. You ever heard of the Decalogue? 10 Commandments. How many of you heard of that? Okay. And the 10 Commandments from God, but after he is in God's presence, he comes down off the mountain, and his face is glowing. Remember that from the text? His face is glowing, and it's really a distraction. You're trying to have a conversation with Moses, his face is glowing. So he wore a veil when he had come out of meeting with God. And so this is the great Moses and Elijah. The stories about Elijah are many. He's the one that has the big test between Asherah and her 500 priests of Baal, remember? And they have this offering, and they try and light their offering, and they can't get it lit. And he has his offering, and he covers it, floods it with water, drenches it till it's soaking wet, and he prays to God, and God lights it on fire, burns everything up. And so all of the people are sure that he's right, then he directs them to get rid of all the pagan priests. Then he has to flee, and then he's fed by a raven in the wilderness in a wadi, and Elijah, the great prophet Elijah. And we heard the story. Mark, you did a great job. Elijah and Elisha and Gilgal's and Belial's, and it was a tongue-twisting scripture. But here is the great Elijah. And in the end, what happened? The swing low, sweet chariot. He doesn't die. He's whisked into heaven in Elisha's sight. So Elisha had asked him for a gift. And Elijah said, if you see me departing, you will receive that. If you don't see me while I go, you won't receive the gift. So Elisha sees him. So Elisha becomes a prophet. He will never be quite as well known in the Old Testament as Elijah was. But these are the superstars. What's that gal? There's a singer who's gotten everything all in the Super Bowl. She's got a boyfriend. Who is it? Oh, that's right, Taylor Swift. I thank you for that. I did have it, and then I did forget it, So, Sandy, the next time I have my brain goes empty like that, you got to step in again. Taylor Swift is superstar of our age, and there are people that are angry that her popularity might be overshadowing something going on at the Super Bowl. But these are the superstars of the Hebrew nations of the Israelites, Moses and Elijah. And they go up on the mountain and Jesus is meeting with them. It's no surprise that the disciples are terrified. This is incredible. And Peter doesn't know what to do, but this is a monumental event, isn't it? This is a monumental event. And later he will say, let's build booths here. Let's make a temple. Let's make a stone monument. Let's forever remember this decisive place. And Jesus just discards that. But when Jesus meets with them, he is transfigured. He glows whiter than any bleach could possibly make. His raiments, his clothing, he is aglow. Moses got his face lit up. But Jesus is the real article. He is transfigured in their sight. Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, prophet Malachi, he will later share a prophecy that he's received that the Messiah will not come until Elijah has returned again. So in the order of things, the Hebrews are waiting for the Messiah. Well, Elijah must come, and then the Messiah will come. And every good Hebrew, every year they have a ceremony. Remember, it's called the Passover, and they gather for the Passover feast. And a part of the ceremony is remembering that Elijah must come, so they set a cup on the table. Guess what it's called? The Elijah cup. That was a giveaway. That's the cup that Jesus picks up for communion. But the disciples ask him, they say, Lord, Elijah has to come before the Messiah comes again. And he says, that's true. I tell you that Elijah has come. And they did to him whatever they pleased, as it was written about him. Jesus is referring to John the Baptist. You remember John, fellow, he was doing wild man in the wilderness, doing baptisms, and everyone came to him. And he said, one is coming after me who is greater than me, who's the thongs of whose sandals I am unworthy to untie. Do you remember him? He has come heralding the Messiah. The Elijah is fulfilled. So this is a pretty awesome event. Think about that. Here on the hillside is Jesus and Moses and Elijah and the Transfiguration. This is an awesome event. We shouldn't be sitting here quietly. We should be going nuts. Hosanna! Celebrations! Yay! There you go. Come on here. Hurrah! Fireworks. I thought about that, but you know, I have a bad history of churches and church fires, so we don't want to go down that road. As they are ending their gathering on the hillsides, one other thing happens. God speaks a voice from heaven. We don't know, but I'm pretty sure I know who it was. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. We've heard that phrase before at his baptism. Amen? This is the Lord. This is the Messiah. This incredible event. Again, hooray! Hosanna! This is it. Jesus is the real McCoy, the prophesied one, the one predicted. It will be a struggle for the Jews to acknowledge this because their entire lives have been about waiting for the coming of the one. But now, what do we do now that the one is coming? And are we sure this is it? Isn't this Joseph and Mary's kid that was born down, you know, as a carpenter? There are doubts. Let's build a monument, Simon says. Jesus doesn't even answer him. They just leave the mountain quietly. That's the snow leaving the roof quietly or unquietly. Not to worry. How many of you have heard that over how many years, decades here? So, but some of you might not have heard it. Panic not. They have to leave the mountain behind. Why wouldn't they have put a rock on this spot Jesus met with Elijah and Moses. Gosh, I tell you what, talk about a tourist attraction. I would go travel to the Holy Land to see that spot and remember. And I say that a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but there are places from the Old Testament that we know where they were because they are still there. There are wells, there are places. And this is a significant place. But Jesus says no and does not even stay there. They leave the mountain. And we must also leave that mountain behind. The Transfiguration, this is it, Transfiguration Sunday, celebrations, wonderful stuff, barbers flourishes, beautiful music, the organ, all of the wonderful things going, but we can't stay here because this is not the end of Jesus' journey. We have to get to the cross. Jesus is not just about being acclaimed as God's Son on earth, which is a wonderful, amazing, tremendous gift to us. But there's more. We have more to the journey. It's called the Passion. On Palm Sunday, we always do palms. I just love Palm Sunday and the kids, and they're waving the palms. And what do they sing? Hosanna, Hosanna. Hooray, he is here. The king has come into the city. It's Jesus. And there is celebration. We should be that much celebration with this Transfiguration Sunday. But it is the beginning of what will come next. We call it the Passion. But it is Jesus' suffering, his questioning, the denial of Jesus, all those things that will come. And he must make that journey. And sometimes we need to back up and recognize that we too might endure parts of that journey. This is not Eden. This is not the Garden of Eden. We know what happened there. They had it good. Adam and Eve talk about a beautiful location. Location, location, location. Everything perfect. Cast out disobedience, determination to have their own free will. And so we are in a world that has thorns and has rose bushes with prickles. And there's suffering and there's life and there's death and there's pain and there's fear and there's doubt. There's all the things that are a part of this earthly journey. And there is our challenge to demand upon us to live righteously in the midst of that test. May we remain stalwart. May we remain faithful as Jesus was. Amen? So this week is Lent. Coming up, starting Wednesday night. That day begins Lent, 40 days. If you try and do the numbers, you have to talk to me because it's complicated. They don't calculate out easily. Never mind. But there are 40 days, just like Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days. Do you remember him in the wilderness for 40 days? What was he doing out there? Camping out there and writing his memoirs, no doubt. He was being tempted. He was facing his temptations. He was journeying through anything that might detract from his journey of faithfulness. But today is before that. This is Transfiguration. This is the Sunday before. And Fred Craddock wrote it. He said, "Today the corner of the curtain is lifted briefly, and we get a glimpse of Jesus as the Messiah. Today we see it, just a hint, just a foreshadowing, a knowledge of, an acknowledgement of." And Dr. Lisa Hancock wrote this piece. I'm going to just read how she said it. "Sing majestic praise to the triune God. Pull out all the stops." That means on the organ, turn on every bit of noise we can make. Organ or ensemble or computer or choirs or videos. Sing at the top of our lungs. Celebrate. Throw in a few hallelujahs and celebrate Jesus' glory. because today is Transfiguration Sunday, a brief glimpse of Jesus as the Messiah. Amen? Amen.